32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.
Welcome back to 32GI Sports Nutrition. Mark Wolf joining myself, Mr. Active David Katz, and we're talking a big cycle event, or maybe I should call it an absolutely huge cycle event. 35,000 cyclists have registered and entered the 40th edition of the Cape Town Cycle Tour. It takes in some of the best sights that South Africa and maybe the world have to offer. It's a world-renowned race, not just locals, people from all over coming and doing it, and it's an important event. It's a cycle event. People spend all year training and building for this one. A lot of training goes in, a lot of nutrition goes in, and it's very important in that last week not to lose it. There's the chances of getting ill because all of a sudden you're changing things. So very important last week before a big race like this, especially for the cyclists, to know that they're going to be arriving on the start line in peak form. Mark, is that a big problem? A lot of people, I think we find that with sort of any form of exercise. You've done all this training, you've done this bulk, your nutrition matches, then you get to your sort of your cutback weeks, and all of a sudden it's a big change for the system.
I think a lot of people feel, you know, before a big race and they're actually toning down their training, et cetera, they definitely feel like they're not doing enough and they want to do some more. But as I tell people, if you want to train the week before the race, keep the training down. But there is one thing you can really train very well, and that's your gut. In other words, focusing on your nutrition, and that's really, really key. If you want to get to race day in really good tip-top shape, make sure you've got your nutrition 100% correct the week before the race, and obviously, you know, the days before, and obviously on race day, because that is going to make the biggest difference in the end.
Now, looking at that week before, of course, you've got the week of, there's all this excitement, you're toning down possibly at work, getting ready to go down to the Cape if you're based there with the event coming up. You know, when people are traveling, diets sort of can change, hard to maintain. It's very important to stick to what you know, stick to your regime, keep eating the clean stuff in that week in the build-up.
100% correct. Don't go and start changing your diet and consuming things that you wouldn't normally eat. As far as your regular diet goes, make sure that you also are hydrating nice and properly every single day. I would say that there are things that are quite beneficial, and that's toning down, definitely toning down your sugar intake as it gets closer to the event. In other words, not taking in too much sugar, not eating too much junk food at all, in actual fact, keeping it nice and clean and nice and lean. And the reason I say that is because the last thing you want to do when you taper before any event is actually gain any excessive weight, because any half a kilo or kilogram overweight on race day is absolutely going to impact you because you're not used to that even during training. So that's the one aspect. The other aspect is you want to get to race day nice and healthy. And there's one sure way to make yourself unhealthy and to lower the immune system, and that's actually eating nonsense. So by eating cleanly, hydrating properly, and trying to keep it as wholesome and as natural as possible as far as the diet goes, You're actually keeping your immune system strong, and then obviously mitigating the risk of falling ill.
Now, Mark, looking at the days before, you talked about cutting down things. You know, cycling and coffee, they tend to go hand in hand. But there's a big benefit, isn't there, for cyclists to cut down on caffeine and then maybe use something like the G-Shot product during the race. It will have added benefit if they've reduced it in the week leading up, won't it?
Look, caffeine is definitely shown to give performance benefits without a doubt. There's two reasons why caffeine is important. Actually, maybe three reasons why caffeine is important. Number one, it does wake up the brain. It wakes up the mind. It makes you feel more alert. It's a natural stimulant. The other thing is that caffeine has the ability to free up a large amount of free fatty acids, which can be utilized for fueling. I mean, and that's freely available fuel, which is very powerful. The last thing that caffeine does is it actually helps speed up the replenishment of glycogen when consumed with the carbohydrates post-exercise. So caffeine does have its benefits. I think, though, if you get very, very big caffeine consumers who are constantly consuming caffeine all the time, the biggest issue is that they actually they don't become caffeine intolerant. They're very tolerant to caffeine, and the impact will be far less when they're actually taking it. I see this. You know, some guys consume a large amount of caffeine every single day, and then what actually happens is when it comes to race day, they try and take a similar amount of caffeine, but it doesn't have a major impact. The other thing is, and that is very, very important to note, is that you don't know how much caffeine is actually in a cup of coffee. So you can go and drink a cup of coffee, and it can be very, very strong, but there's no way to tell how much caffeine is in it. The strength is not related to the caffeine content whatsoever. So measurable caffeine intake is really, really the key thing here when it does come to racing, and you need to know how much caffeine you're consuming before or during an event and make sure that you take in the right amounts. And generally, we look at 1 to 2 milligrams of caffeine per kilogram of body weight consumed a couple of hours before the onset of a race. If you want to maximize the impact of your caffeine before an event, the best thing to do is to try and wean off the caffeine a little bit and then hit it, obviously, on the day of the event. The problem is that if you're a very big coffee drinker and you drink 4, 5, 6 cups a day, which some people do, or even in the form of maybe teas, which is also very high in caffeine, the problem is that you cannot just cut it out, because if you cut it out, you're going to end up with withdrawal symptoms and you're going to absolutely feel terrible. The best thing to do is to actually tone down the caffeine little by little. You don't have to cut it out completely, but make sure that you cut it down to a certain extent that when you take it on the day, it has a nice impact. But again, the caffeine needs to be measurable. It's impossible to tell how much caffeine you're consuming without knowing how much caffeine there is in any particular product.
Mark, talk to me about fiber. I know it's something that triathletes specifically like to cut down, you know, maybe from about three days before, maybe for runners also very important. But guys are doing something like a longer cycle race. Is it something that they should also look to be doing in general, or does it just depend on how the certain person sort of deals with fiber?
Look, fiber is something important to discuss, because fiber is something that, it's like eating plastic in a way, if you want me to put it like that. It doesn't get digested or broken down in the body. It actually just passes through the body. And the problem is that some people, they do eat quite a bit of fiber in their diet, which is fine because it helps with bile and digestive function. I think the thing is though, that what is the impact of fiber when your body is performing at a very high intensity and the digestive tracts become quite a bit stressed? And then in that case, what you get is sort of a gastrointestinal distress on the bowels. And the reason being is that under high intensity, some people get negatively impacted by fiber consumption. And you see it. There's a severe burning or aching in the stomach, etc. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons that causes that. So that fiber is one reason. I mean, there's many others. So in that case, if you are sort of more sensitive to fiber intake, and you do have maybe a sensitive stomach or digestive system, I would recommend maybe, yes, lowering or cutting down the fiber maybe 48 to 72 hours before an event. I mean, this last week, I had an athlete who definitely had a sort of gastrointestinal sensitivity issues. And instead of eating maybe oatmeal, for example, before a race, or a quinoa meal, whatever it was, you know, opted for a white rice pudding or something which was a little bit lower in fiber, which provided the carbohydrate intake, you know, on that day. So I would say if you've got a sensitive stomach, try and lower that fiber intake. And that means that if you're going to eat bread, for example, don't go and eat a half fiber bread. You know, white bread has got hardly any fiber, so you rarely go with a piece of white bread. Even though it's not healthy bread, you're only going to be using it for fueling on the day, and it's a better option to keep the fiber low. So those are just some simple examples.
Now, Mark, we talked a little bit about trying not to get sick, but, you know, it can happen, and it happens very often that in that week and that transition people do. Adding something like maybe taking a bit of vitamin C daily in the week up, would you recommend something like that?
Well, interestingly enough, vitamin C actually impacts your endurance performance. So I actually would avoid vitamin C because it can impact your energy levels during an event. And I tell people if they're taking vitamin C, they should probably cycle on it and off it and not take it during bouts of high intensity, specifically during heavy bouts of racing, because vitamin C has been shown to impact the body's ability to perform. It does play negatively on the energy system, but it plays positively on the immune system. So you need to actually weigh those up. I think what I would look at more is taking things like zinc, for example, which is absolutely brilliant, and it also actually aids sort of liver function as well. It does help with immunity. There's the vitamin B1, 6, and 12, like the neurobians and the vitamin B complexes, which are actually quite nice to take. I mean, you can get that in tablet form as well. For those people that don't like to get injections by their doctors, but without a doubt, that also helps boost immunity. One of the biggest things we know that does boost immunity is, and as I mentioned before, eating cleanly and sleeping well at night. I mean, the more sleep you get and the more rested the body is, the far better as well the immune system strengthens and recovers. And just to also probably avoid places where, or crowded places, like maybe try and stay out of gyms or steam rooms, etc., where germs probably run around rampant and the chances of infection are a lot more. It really all depends on how hard you've actually been training, because we know that hard, high-intensity training lowers the immunity. And once you've finished a strong training bout and you want to actually get to some place or a race in you know, with a strong immune system, the best thing to do is to try and avoid contact with people that might be ill or, you know, any, trying to avoid places where you might have a high risk of exposure to getting illness.
Mark, talking about a sort of another supplement that's very common, and of course 32GI is a great product, TrueMag, magnesium. Look, nothing beats training and having the right training for the intensity you want to ride at, but there is merit once again in adding some magnesium to your diet in the lead up to an event.
Look, magnesium is probably one of the most critical, I would say, minerals that anybody could consume, because there's a lot of benefit to it. And first of all, magnesium is very much utilized in the creation of ATP, and ATP is really the fire that ignites the muscles, and that's basically what causes muscle contraction. So yes, magnesium is very critical from an energy point of view. It also helps not just with energy, but it helps calm the nervous system. So taking magnesium before you go to sleep at night would allow the nervous system to relax a little bit more and allow you to get a better night's sleep. So it does have its benefits, and it also has shown to delay the onset of muscle fatigue.
Now, Mark, you've been down to Cape Town plenty. You've been in and around the race. To you, what is the most special thing about the event?
Well, I think if you look at Argos, people say sometimes it's not a long cycle race, it's a short cycle race. But it's probably a cycle race in the most beautiful part of the entire world, maybe, which is along the coast. And it really is an absolutely beautiful event. I mean, to cycle around there, I mean, for the people that live there, I'm absolutely jealous, because they've got some of the most beautiful scenic cycling routes in the world. And I think that's really what makes the event truly special. I think another thing that makes the event special is you've got, it's the biggest timed cycle race in the world. And as you mentioned earlier, I think the number is, what, 35,000 to 36,000 cyclists all coming together on a single day. It's crazy when you think about how an event like this is completely controlled with full road closure, amazing safety. And if you look at it from that point of view, I mean, it's one event that's definitely, it's on the bucket list, not just for South Africans, but for anybody worldwide.
Well, it really is a phenomenal event. If you are racing on the 12th of March, best of luck. If it's your debut one, your novice one, have an absolute smashing time. For everyone else, happy training, and we'll be back with you soon on the 32GI Sports Nutrition Podcast.
32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI, trusted sports nutrition advisors.